What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. I want to thank you guys for listening to last week's marathon of shows. I got lots of love, and I gave out lots of love to all the guys that were willing to come on and celebrate my one-year anniversary with me. It was mostly people that I had interviewed and done shows with, and then one guy that I had never done a show with. And if you haven't heard those, and a lot of you have, go back and go to Podomatic or iTunes and download them. They're only about 20 or 30 minutes long, and it'll give you a whole week's worth of fun. Also, my band, Bay City Sockos, we've got a new album coming out. It's called American Talent, and you can go to baycitypsychos.com and listen to the album for free. Did you say free? Yes, I said free. And if you want, you can download it. It should be on iTunes by the time this show comes out, and Amazon and Google Play, and there's like 50 places that we're going to be on. We're even on like a few radio stations, which is the bomb. Also, let's see. Matt Porter's show came out for July. Go back and listen to that. Jody Havnott's put out about, good Lord, 40 shows. He's very busy. You got Ken's shows with his friends that they did Dress to Kill roundtable. It's two shows, and both of them were great. They had me giggling, and that's why they're very awesome. I know that by the time this comes out, there will be another Jody Havnott show, and I said that already, but also a new Kistery Science Theater show, and I think they're doing it on Killers, so make sure you listen to that, and you're like, why, Joe? When are we ever going to listen to your show? I don't know. Make time. Lay in bed. You hear that giggle in the background? That's big. Oh, that's Jeff Gray. What's up?
Hey, man. How's it going?
Oh, great. From watching you podcast, Kiss Podcast, yeah. So they call you Cool Uncle Jeff.
Yeah, they do.
So what's that all about?
It's actually kind of a funny story. First of all, I don't believe any of my own hype, just so you know that.
Good, because I'm the same way.
It's just a joke. One day I was reading on Kiss FAQ. Some guy was on there going back and forth. Actually, they were given three sides of the coin a hard time about copying a topic, like we own topics and watching, you know, which obviously we don't, about album covers. And they were talking about different podcasts. And this guy, his name was, I think it was a guy, his handle was Ace Fury. And he says, I really like those guys from watching you. It's kind of like watching your cool uncle. Right? Talk about Kiss. And it made me laugh so hard that on the next episode of Watching You with Jeff Scott, I just started saying, you know, I said, I got a new name. And I just started calling myself Cool Uncle Jeff. And then my buddy Chris Medic from out in Sacramento, he's a graphic artist. You've probably seen a lot of his work. Graphic artist, and he did up a little thing for me with the old the Kool-Aid and the Cool Uncle Jeff. So
yeah,
it's just a big joke. It's just
yeah.
a big joke.
Awesome. Right? That is terrific, right? Though.
I love the love you got here, man.
Oh man, yeah. Of course.
Well, it's all about the podcast, right? I mean, it's like you really are supporting other podcasts and really spreading, you know, there's a bit of a fraternity going on here, and we try to do the same thing. So anyway, Joe, thanks a lot. I'm really glad to be here tonight.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, that the one thing that I'm like you, I don't believe the hype, and you know, I understand that the reason I know that the reason why my show does as well as it does, and you know, I don't know how well the other podcasts do, but for me, I've said it before. I used to say, man, wouldn't it be awesome if 1,000 people a month listened? And,
yeah.
You know, and it's bigger than that, and I'm like so grateful to everybody that has helped, and I can't help but when I start my show, I make sure that I tell everybody that's listening, if you haven't heard of these other people, make sure you go I want to stop that for a second. I want to talk about your show.
Sure.
It's a video show. It's not just an audio show like mine. It's video on YouTube.
Right. Right, right.
You know, so you guys, you know, there's a few of those. There's Crazy Nights. There's Three Sides of the Coin. There's you guys. I know there's another one. There's a family, and I can't think of what their show is. I think it's called Crazy Nights as well. I'm not 100%, but it's a dad, his daughter, and two sons, I believe, and they talk about Kiss, and that's pretty cool. But you guys, when you put your show together, there's a lot of damn graphics.
Yeah. Jeff Scott does a great job. He's a drama teacher. He makes movies. We've really, like I said, we call ourselves a talk show, and that's the reason why we do that, is that we have the video. We put a lot of work into this, Jeff especially. We just kind of wanted to do something a little bit different. I'm going to admit, though, I mean, we wouldn't exist if it wasn't for a couple of shows. We wouldn't exist if it wasn't for Three Sides of the Coin. We kind of saw what they were doing, and we kind of dug that. We wanted to do our own thing. And also, obviously, KST, those guys are hilarious up at Kiss Through Science Theater. They kind of got us. They got us going, you know, and it's sort of, so Jeff just like goes over the top. He has fun. He's the brainchild, really. I laugh, Joe. I just say he's the brainchild. I'm the talent, right?
Oh yeah, no, I get that. It's just, you know, having fun doing this is the most important thing.
Yeah.
You know, and people listening, and they get it. They get what we're doing is more about, you know, showing how much we love our favorite band than anything else.
Right on.
And we try our best to stay positive, especially right now in a world where Kiss fans are so completely and totally divided.
This is amazing to me. I've only been doing this, Joe, for, I don't know, about a year, just a year and a bit now, with this, you know, really getting back into Kiss. I come in and out of Kiss over the last, you know, since 1977, in and out. And it just, you know, now with the internet and everything, it just amazes me the amount of passion that there is for this band, and the amount of sights that you can see. But it's also really amazing the drama that comes with it, the sides, you know, the people taking sides for everything.
Oh yeah, I mean, and that's going to be part of our topic today. You know, when we were getting together and we were deciding, you know, what can we talk about? You know, I can tell you this. At one point this week, I was standing in a room for 30 minutes getting berated by a hater. And I just kept looking at him and smiling and, you know, and telling him, you got to let it go, man. Just stop listening. And, you know, it was like 30 minutes of hate.
Wow.
You know, and it was, you know, the comments that came out of the mouth of this person were everything from, you guys are all Kool-Aid drinkers, to, oh, you're going on the cruise? I hope it wrecks and you drown.
Wow. That's crazy.
It's insane, because I would dare support Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons now while they have two imposters in the band. And I'm just like, man, but it's fun. It's fun.
What it comes down to, though, is that, you know, and you're a musician, so you know, like, I mean, I may not like music, but I never criticize people for liking something. You know, I never do that, because it's a personal thing. And you know what? If I don't like it, I'll stay away from it. And you know what? I'll be honest. I'll be honest about the band I love. If there's things I like about them, there's things that I don't like about them. And I just happen to be in a forum where I have to talk about, I talk about it a lot. So I give my opinion on it. But to say to someone else, you know, that you're an idiot, or, you know, ill wish you, it, you know, it just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Death.
Come on.
Death they wanted on me. I hope the boat sinks.
Oh, man.
And it's like, you know, oh, God. It's just, wow. But, okay, so let's get to our topic. And
sure.
then we're going to really talk. You know, we're also going to make sure that we really talk about your podcast, because we got to let everybody know where you've been, and, you know, why you've been gone for the past few weeks. I got a few different topics. I'm going to start with one.
Sure.
The shows have been doing very well. I went and saw Kiss, 18,000. I watched the video, you know, 20,000. You know, there's another video at another show, 20,000. So I don't know if these are sellouts, but there's definitely more people coming to these shows than what people expected. So what that question kind of loops around to the person that was screaming at me for 30 minutes
right.
is – When they say nobody's going to go and see Kiss because they don't, you know, because of Tommy Thayer and Eric Singer, and it's played out, blah, blah, blah. You know, now that these shows are so huge, do you think that they should drop that and move on to a new topic?
Well, I mean, what's the argument? I mean, these are the people who go on or they're not. I mean, I can't. What's to argue with? If there's 18,000 people showing up to show, there's the facts in and of itself. It doesn't matter whether you like it or don't like it. And let's face it, the band that Kiss is today is a different band than it was 20, 30 years ago. Okay, so pick your band that you like. Pick the one that you like. But if you don't like it today, don't go. But here's the thing, is I guarantee you, like, you know, there's 18,000 fans there. I'm sure there's a bunch of, you know, diehards that aren't there, and I could be one of them, but there's a whole bunch of new fans who are just there for the spectacle and the show. And the reality is that their show that they're putting on, you just saw it. I haven't seen it since 1977, by the way. I haven't seen Kiss Live since 1977, but the show was just spectacular.
Yeah.
Simple as that, yeah, right?
Period. That's it. You know that Kiss is coming to town? Let's see. I could go bowling. I could stay at home and watch Netflix. I could sit here next to my old lady, or I could pack her up, pay for a couple of tickets, and go see an amazing rock show.
Now, is this disco bowling or just bowling?
I like disco bowling. I don't have a problem with that.
Because that could be a tough call, right? See, disco bowling might be.
Might be fun. At the place that I go, they do dollar jello shots, so. I'm not a big drinker,
but you're right. I mean, it's a spectacle. I mean, how many spectacles do you see? How many rock acts and any kind of show that's putting on that kind of show?
None.
Man, the argument, there is no argument. You know, to argue with someone about whether or not they're going to draw or not is irrelevant. It is what it is. They're drawn as much. I'd say they had more difficulty drawing in the '80s and in the early '90s than they are now.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I went and saw it when I was at Revenge. I'm sitting there and it's half house and it's not even full then. You know, you're going, wow, what's happening? I can talk to this guy sitting next to me and he can hear me. And it's like, you know, it was really strange, that whole thing, you know.
Wow.
And for Kiss to do what they're doing now, it's a natural progression. It's what they were meant to do.
Yeah, and I think I had a chance to see them last summer, and it ended up, because of work, I couldn't go. I wasn't too sad about that, Joe, but the reason was because, like I said, if you caught what I said there, I've only seen them once in my life.
Right, right. I get that.
And I saw them in the Love Gun tour. And, you know, so I saw them in their prime, and, you know, with Cheap Trick. And so I'm kind of worried about ruining that for me, you know what I mean?
Oh, no, I understand that completely. You know, it's like you saw them, you know, when they were the biggest they were ever going to be.
Yeah, you know, it's like Superman, you know, they say the mask comes off, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's like, you know, seeing Joe Namath in his final year of football.
Rather, yeah.
You know, I threw that in for an Alabama reference. Yeah. Were you a Bama fan when you lived in Bama?
Not really. I mean, I was too young. I was just a kid, so
okay.
Everybody was a Bama fan, right?
Yeah, or an Auburn fan, but you can't.
Or an Auburn, yeah.
Yeah, but you got to make sure that you pick a side because
it's crazy. They're poisoning each other's trees down there.
Oh, my God, you brought that up. My ex-wife has a tattoo of the tree on her leg because she's such an Auburn fan. For those of you who don't get that, Jeff lives in Nova Scotia, right?
That's right.
And you're from Alabama originally. That's why I brought up the football reference. And anyway, when you're a kid in the South, SEC football is like major. I guess it's the same in Texas, or, you know, Texas football, you know, they'll shoot you in the face if you're rooting for the wrong team. Anyway,
But no, your point's well taken, though, is that, you know, when you see, and that's the only challenge I have with the band I love today is, you know, do I see the prize fighter who's beyond their prime, and how does that impact me? You know, that's all. It's really the only thing I worry about, you know?
Oh, no. The other thing is, you know, I sat at the crowd and there was a couple of guys around me that were, you know, making fun of Paul Stanley, and they really not in a awful way, but it was like they knew what was going to happen. They knew, you know. And Ken Mills, in my last show, he explained that very well. And if you haven't listened to that, go back and listen to Ken Mills talk about, you know, what's going on. And basically is if somebody's having a hard time seeing Kiss, because it's because they've seen them so many times. Of course they know what's going to happen. The same thing happens, and I hate for a football reference, but if you can't run the same play, but the people that have not seen them are going, oh my God, that was awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah.
You can't see anything new anymore anyway, though, because they're on, you know, it's on YouTube the same night.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You know, like, as soon as the show's done, it's on. I mean, you can see it the same night. I mean, the show you saw, I'm sure if you went home, or even on your way home in the car, with your phone, you probably you could see clips of the show, I'm sure.
Right, absolutely. And the other thing is that when Kiss first got back together, and then they were like, oh my God, what are they going to wear? Are they going to wear what kind of costumes? And they kept wearing the same kind of costumes. Then they changed the costumes, and then they changed the costumes again because people wanted new costumes. And now they're like, oh, those costumes suck.
I mean, you know what? I'm not against change for change's sake, but you know, I mean, just sometimes things look kind of silly, you know. And it's okay though; it's not everything. But back to that point you're making about these guys making fun of Paul Stanley, don't you kind of wonder why they spent the money? I mean, it's not cheap to go see that show.
No, it isn't, and you're right. I wonder why they were even there. And, you know, I picked up on it a couple of different times because I moved during the show. I was sitting in one place, and then I was sitting in another place, and, you know, I was with a woman, and at the time she was unsure of where she wanted to be. And that's right, ladies and gentlemen, I was with a woman. Anyway, I can't say it that often. Anyway, even as awesome as I am, no, it's like, God, I don't do that very well. It's so phony. That's probably no confidence. Anyway, everywhere I sat in the three different times I moved, somebody was, you know, almost saying what Paul Stanley was going to say before he said it. And these guys were clearly drinking and drunk. And, you know, but the other thing is besides those guys, everybody else was just having a good time. And they weren't, you know, even if they were standing there having a problem with the fact that Tommy Thayer is dressed like the spaceman, fingers up in quotation marks, because I don't call him the spaceman. I call it Ace Frehley. That's, you know, who he, you know, nobody, I never looked at Gene Simmons and went, oh, that's the demon. I looked at Gene Simmons and went, that's Gene Simmons. So I get that, but the people that were there, if they have a problem with the fact that Tommy looks like Ace, they're putting it aside for the night.
Yeah, they have to, right?
Yeah, so they're going to the show, they're enjoying themselves and remembering at least musically and, you know, why, you know, visually why they love this band in any incarnation. They put on a show, and that's what you want. And you're not going to see that when you go see, you know, well, I don't want to pick on any bands because I'll get hate mail, but, you know, and I do. Sometimes it happens, but, you know.
You going to give your address out? You give your address out?
Oh, no, I give an email out, and it just comes, just shows up and goes, I can't believe you like Tommy Thayer.
There you go, see?
So what's your take on that? You don't have a problem with him in the makeup, or you do? I personally wish they would have given him his own persona. I don't have a problem with that. Him and Eric, and then all those people would shut up.
I've been very clear on this in our show, is that you said it earlier. And you said that it's not – I don't see them as the character Spaceman, Starchild, the Demon, the Catman at all. It was – and it comes back to when I started loving the band. It was back in the 70s, right? So it was absolutely Ace Frehley. It was Paul Stanley. It was Gene Simmons. It was Peter Criss. So there is – so you can't be that person. You know what I mean? There's no way to do that. So my it's just a personal opinion. I'm okay with other people if they're okay with it. It personally kind of – honestly – for years now, especially since I've been doing the show, it honestly kind of turns my stomach a little bit, which is weird, eh? Like, it's not intentional, but my stomach gets a little queasy when I see those guys in that makeup. But I respect them, and they have every right to do it, and if I had a chance to do it, I'd be doing it.
Right, and you see, Al, I am with you. I can say that I support the show, and I go to the show. I am a Paul Stanley fan, and then I'm an Ace Frehley fan. Paul Stanley is there. I want to go and see him perform, and that's why I go. Now, I can tell you that when I see Tommy Thayer in Ace's makeup, and I see Eric Singer in Peter's makeup. It does turn my stomach a little bit, but the problem is more because I feel like I'm missing out on a chance to have new characters in Kiss and maybe get a new 12-inch Mego doll of Tommy Thayer. You know, that's what I'm saying. It's more of, I really feel like, God, they really missed the chance to like, step it up and go over the top and go, here's the new guy. And they're always like, oh, what are we going to have, Goat Boy and Giraffe Boy? And it's like, no, I'm sure you could come up with something better.
Well, they already did. I mean, it's funny because that's the argument. The argument has always been, well, we got to keep the brand. But the fans that they're not, if you're a diehard Kiss fan today, you're turned off by that. Right, you're turned off by, right? And if you're a new fan, you didn't know about it anyway. So if you had new characters, how would that hurt anything? And I personally think one of the coolest characters I've ever seen in Kiss was the Aztec Warrior.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Vinnie Vincent's it was great.
That's another topic, whether or not I'm a big Vinnie Vincent fan or not. But I thought the character was outstanding, and I've always been of the impression they could have. I thought there was a marketing opportunity that was missed by not giving Eric Singer his own makeup and Tommy Thayer his own makeup, and I'm sure they would have been happy with it, right? It would have kept a lot of the real diehard fans. I keep using that term because the real diehard fans who were really adamantly against this and visibly sick about it, it would kind of appease that. So I think they could get appeal to more people that way. But anyway, absolutely. That's just their opinion.
That's another thing, though. They could have done this. They could have said, we're going to make you guys new characters, and the old fans will keep coming because we're not, quote-unquote, disgracing the characters or the people that were these, in these costumes and this makeup. And the new fans, they won't know the difference and they won't care. So, instead of 18,000 in Atlanta, there would have been 24,000. And, they would have had all kinds of new stuff to sell. And that's what Kiss is about. Just make no bones about it. Merchandise and music and a show. And they had this opportunity. And for some reason, somebody got in their ear and went, all they really want to see is the Catman, the Spaceman, the Demon, and the Star Child. And that's not necessarily completely true.
I think it's something different. I think it's they're just making a point. I think there is animosity between the members of the band, and they're doing it because the only thing I can think of is that they're doing just because they can, and it's a bit of a rub in the face. And it's not just, don't get me wrong, it's not just Gene and Paul going after Peter and Ace, but I do think there's a personal side to this, and because I can't think of any other reason why they would do it other than say because the argument is, well, we have the rights to it, so we own the rights to this, so we're going to do it. And my thought on this has always been, adults don't do everything they want to do, right? Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. And I just think that I think it's personal. I don't think anyone got in their ear. I just think they, we're going to do this and we're going to show you who's boss.
I probably can agree with you on that, but I also wonder if they're sitting back and going, good God, I don't want to come up with a new thing. And
maybe.
Yeah, it might be part of it too.
Yeah.
But also, that's the other thing. How people can choose sides. I don't. I love Ace. I love Peter. I love Paul. Yeah. I love Gene. And there's a reason. Right. I wasn't there.
Right.
I wasn't there. But I can tell you that I cannot imagine that Paul and Gene would not love to love Peter and Ace, but something must have pushed them. And you got Ace on the other side and Peter going on the other side and going, there were lots of problems, blah, blah, blah. They just need to forget about it and let it go. And it's like, for lack of a better way of putting this, your wife cheating on you. And I say wife because men don't cheat. And at your wife cheating on you and then, looks at you and says, you need to get over it. Be my friend. And it's like, how can I be your friend? had this wonderful thing together, and then you crapped on it. And, you know, nobody can tell me that. And this includes Gene Simmons. Gene Simmons, Paul, Peter Criss, and Ace Frehley all crapped on the dream at some point that was Kiss. Paul Stanley was the only one.
That's true. That's true.
That stuck with it, you know?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
You know, it is true. Gene Simmons with acting and fame and, you know, yeah. all went to his head.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And then Peter and Ace with Peter with people in his ear going, you know, you could do this without the other guys. And Ace yeah. with the drugs and, you know, and I'm really, you know, I really think that Ace is going to come out of this well. You know, in the end, he's going to put out great albums, and they're probably going to be better than the last, you know, two Kiss albums. And I haven't heard much of the new albums yet, but they're getting good reviews from other I think Decibel Geek said that the album was really good, and I haven't had the chance to listen to it yet. And it's not out, but somehow they got to hear it, which makes it amazing that I wish I was them. But, you know, now that this kind of brings me into another topic now. You got Ace now going on the offense. He has become Israel, and he is launching missiles to the other side, where he has said stuff like, I'm going to make Kiss look foolish, and they better stop talking about me, because nobody's going to go to the shows if they keep talking about me. I'm not sure that I'm going to agree with that, and I'm going to tell you why. One, Ace, man, you know, everybody that loves you so much that they won't go to a show, they're not there now. This is not like, you know, them saying, it's not like all these new Kiss fans that are out there are going to go, oh man, the old guy's getting picked on by, you know, I'm not going to support Tommy Thayer, the only spaceman I've ever known, you know?
Yeah.
Will his album make Kiss look foolish? I can't imagine. Kiss has made themselves look foolish so many times with Ace in the band. What difference does it make? Get together, put out your new album, have fun with it, go on tour, put on the best shows you can, and, you know, kick ass, and let the music, you know, and the shows speak for themselves. What do you think?
I think that in every single thing I've ever done in my life, taking the high road is the right thing to do. And it's the best thing that Ace Frehley, Paul Stanley, Gene Simmons, or Peter Criss can do is always, you know, there is no win here for him to attack them in any way, shape, or form. He should just simply, the best revenge for him is just to go out and do it and not criticize them and be successful. And that will speak for itself. And anything less than that diminishes what he's going to accomplish. Whether the album is great or not, great. But it's when you think about it, why should he even care how it compares to any Kiss album? It shouldn't matter. It should only matter against his body of work as an artist himself.
Right. And I don't know about you, but I'm very excited about the new album. I love Ace Frehley. He's one of my favorite guitar players, if not my favorite guitar player of all time. I love, you know, everything about his style. You know, I always thought it was amazing how he was able to keep the best songs he ever wrote for his own solo album.
That's amazing, yeah.
You know, and, you know, which also makes you sit back and go, God, was he giving 100% in Kiss, which we know.
Or was he allowed to? So I saw that. See, I saw that different, Joe. I saw that as being when he was finally, you know, I think first of all, he didn't have confidence as a singer early on. And then once Shock Me came out, that gave him his spotlight. That was his moment to move him as an artist forward, as an independent entity. And then therefore he got to, because you think about, if you go back and look at the material he's done for Kiss, you know, the songs that he wrote are some of the most interesting musical pieces that they have. So I think that, I just don't think he was meant to be in the spotlight, and that wasn't their vision at first. It was Gene and Paul, very Beatlesque, right?
Right.
Gene, Paul were your John and Paul, and Peter was Ringo, and Ace was George Harrison. And once it started, then, and you could also argue that as Ace started to come more into the forefront, as Peter came more to the forefront, once Beth came out, that's when the problem started. That's when the ego started flying. And so I don't know. I don't think he got the, I think he just got a chance to showcase himself more. And don't get me wrong, I don't know. I mean, nobody was stepping on him. I don't think it's like, you know, no, we can't have Ace out there. But I just think it was the natural progression, Joe.
Oh yeah, you know, and it, you know, I hate to say that like this, but you know, it. I wonder, you know, Paul and Gene thought of it as their band. You know, the other thing is you've always heard Paul say, as far as we're concerned, there were four stars. But yeah, you know, not. But I don't know. Like I said, man, none of us were there. You know, and then you always hear, you know, well, Paul and Gene and Paul and Gene and Gene and Paul and Paul and Gene and Gene and Paul and poor little Ace and poor little Peter and, you know, it's like.
But that came later, right? That came.
Yeah. But was it really like that? Was it really like that, you know, or
who knows?
Or is it just, you know, Peter and Ace's vision of what happened and they don't really remember because they were messed up all the time?
Yeah, well, I mean, after 1977, who knows? Because I remember, like I said, when I first got into Kiss, I mean, I had those, you know, I had Kiss Alive and those large inserts with the you know, the pictures of each of them on there. And it was very much like, I keep referring to the Beatles because it was very much four individual characters, four guys that they were, the sum was better than any component. You know, and it was they had to be together, and that's what made it special. And then, you know, anything less than that became, I don't know. They had a, that's what made them work in the first place. Everybody had a role to play, and then as those roles started to shift, then people's insecurities started to show up. And this is all speculation. Like you said, we weren't there. It is what it is, and you know, and should Ace be, you know, making comments today, I'd love to see him just ignore them and just do his thing.
I think so too. And you know, I can tell you this, I know this is going to sound really weird that I'm bringing this up, but I have talked online and a little bit, teeny little bit, and actually gone to and become friends on Facebook with his fiance, and she is an amazing woman. You know, I watch her. She's a free spirit, kind of like Ace, but I think she's a little more grounded, and I think that she's good for him. And I just think that if Ace is going to succeed, I think that she is going to play a big role in it. And I don't mean in a Yoko way I don't know about, you know, I just think that she will be able to look at him and go, you know, honey, take the high road. I think that she seems to be that type of person. I would love to interview her. I know it will never happen. And as a matter of fact, on her Facebook page, you know, she makes sure that everybody knows this is not an Ace page. This is my page.
Right.
But she's very friendly and she's very artsy. And, you know, I haven't like trolled her or anything looking to see what she used to do. I think she was an actress, but she's definitely an artist and she takes great photos and stuff like that. But she comes off as a very positive type person, you know, and I really think that in the long run, she's going to be great for him. I know that's really strange to talk about, right?
No, I think because we're talking about, you know, you're talking about Ace and his future and his past. And I think everybody needs that person, one or more people in their life that will challenge them, you know, to be honest with them, to be brutally honest with them. And when you don't have them, I can't imagine if you're a superstar and you know, you've got your own ego and no one is, and everybody, nobody around you is being honest with you. You're going to make a lot of bad decisions. And, you know, I need that. You need that. And he needs that, and he definitely needs that, especially if you've been a substance abuser or an addict. You know, at one point, you definitely need people in your life who aren't just going to tell you what you want to hear.
Yeah, that is a big part of, you know, what the problem with our favorite band has been, is there are those people that are going to sit in each one of their ears and let them know, you know, how great they are. And like you said, you know, not one component is greater than the sum. You get the whole band together and there's magic. You split them apart. Look, Peter Criss cannot put out a hit album to save his life.
No, not even close.
Not even close. And I would not say – I've never listened to any of his solo albums other than the one he put out with Kiss. But I can tell you that I've never heard anything good. I've never had one person go, this is great. Now, did I love Peter Criss's solo album when he was in Kiss? Yes, I did. And the reason why I did was because it was so unique and he did what he wanted to. But the problem was – it had Kiss on the album cover. And yeah. once you take Kiss off the album cover, people are going to go, this isn't why I like you. I like you because you sing these certain kinds of songs, which you're doing on these albums, but you're not wearing your makeup and it doesn't say Kiss at the top corner.
No, that's right. Ace has actually been the only one to step outside of the band and truly create his own entity.
Right.
You know, that would that have any legitimacy to it for any length of time?
But you also have to look at that at for some reason. And I'm not 100% sure why, because I'm the same way, but I'm not sure why. And that is that Ace has this look. He has this ability to inch his way into every original Kiss fan's heart and like sit there and go, don't forget me. I'm Ace, man. And then you see Ace and you go, man, that's Ace. It's awesome. I love Ace. You know, and it's like, you know, with Peter, you're going, you know, and this it could be because Peter was the first one to go, I'm out, you know.
Yeah. Well, listen, think about that for a second. I saw a picture on Facebook yesterday, today, and I think it was on, I don't know, it doesn't matter where it was, but it was a picture of Ace, and, you know, classic picture of Ace, you know, how he's absolutely the coolest guy in the band when he poses the right way. And, but it was, you know, the rock god Ace was the caption. And has anyone ever really said that about the other members of the band? At least,
no, I wouldn't think so.
You know what I mean? Like he is absolutely, for Kiss fans that are Ace fan, they actually elevate him to that kind of status, right? And Gene never has had that kind of status. Peter certainly has. Paul might be the closest one.
Paul's definitely a rock star.
Oh, absolutely. But like, everyone sees Ace in this reverence, right? And well, I shouldn't say everyone. His fans do, right?
Yeah, he's the closest thing to Keith Richards as we're going to get.
There you go. That's a great analogy. I like that. That's a really good analogy.
Yeah, he is a Keith Richards.
Yeah, right on. I like that. Yeah. Jack Sparrow.
I would say he's a better player.
Than Keith Richards?
I better be careful.
Well, now here's the thing. Okay, so whenever we do our show, I always got to go back because there are stages, right? Uh-huh. And different points of time. You said Ace Frehley was your most favorite Kiss guitar, one of your favorite guitar players of all time. Right?
Right.
Now, which Ace Frehley was your favorite guitar player?
Oh, that is a good point.
Is it today? Is it Ace with his creativity today and his skills?
Yeah.
Or was it Ace with his creativity and his skills in 1976?
Yeah. No, you're right. It's 76 Ace, 77 Ace, and before that, you know.
Yeah.
He changed a lot, you know. But if you listen to like Dynasty, even though the album is done a certain way, he still rocks.
Absolutely. There's some great leads on there.
Yeah, that's the thing about Ace. So in the end, you know, everything is going to be told when this new album come out. His first album, Anomaly, came out, or not his first album, but the last album, and it was a huge success, I would say, as far as successes could go. And then, you know, especially when people were going, it's better than Sonic Boom, you know, that's what they were doing. You were hearing it all over. Now he's got the new one coming out, Space Invader. And that's what it's called, right? I didn't want to say that wrong.
That's
Space Invader. And, you know, is lightning going to strike twice? Is it going to happen two times? His cover is the Joker, you know, and I'm not really sure if that would have been the best choice for me. But it's totally Ace. You know, I'm a toker and smoker and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And that does fit him, you know. But like I said, when the album comes out, people are either going to go, hey, Ace, you shouldn't have run your mouth before this record came out, or they're going to go, hey, Paul and Gene, did you notice that Ace's album kicks ass?
Yeah, and again, it's like that's what's going to happen, but that's not what should happen. I mean, the album should just stand on its own. It's irrelevant to compare it to Sonic Boom or Monster or Cycle Circus, really, because other than if we're in the nanya crowd, you know, it really has no relevance whatsoever. Either I like it or I don't. Either it's got good songs on it, either it's got great creativity, or it doesn't. Either his leads are going to be well thought out and thematic and dramatic, or they're not. And Sonic Boom and Monster is a whole nother topic. But I think that I don't know. We'll see. I'm kind of looking forward to this one. I got to say, but you know, we'll see. We'll see. I'm not over the top, right?
No, I get that, and you know, I always said that I always felt like Sonic and Monster Boom would have Monster Boom, Sonic Boom and Monster would have done very well had they not said this is going to be the next Destroyer, or this is just like Rock and Roll Over. If they would have just done the shows, it would have been. I mean, the albums that people, because they're not bad albums.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because you had your Andrew there made a suggestion to what we should talk about tonight. One of those things he said was, should Kiss put out another album?
Right, which is where I was going and hoping you were going to grab on.
Well, I always grab onto that.
Yes, he asked, what do you think about Kiss doing a new album? Now, I don't know why he asked that. Are they talking about doing a new record?
I haven't heard anything. I think that, no, I have no idea. We'll have to ask Andrew. I'm sure he'll tell us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
But, so I think, I guess, this goes back to, here's the problem I have with new Kiss material, is that I can no longer look at it in the isolation of my Kiss world. I'm a musician like you are. I love so many bands. I love new bands. So I compare every single thing that Kiss puts out today against their history, but also against everything that's out there today. And that's the biggest problem I had with Sonic Boom and Monster was I didn't think it competed very well generic with the rest of the market out there. That's just my opinion.
Right.
And I thought the songs were derivative, especially Sonic Boom. I mean, even the leads were ripoffs from previous lead guitar parts. It was obvious they said, okay, let's do Ace's piece here. Let's take the lead from She and take it backwards. What's the advantage to doing a new album? You know, it's because now the tours are where they make their money. They don't make the money in the record sales anymore.
Right.
Right. So I don't know. Do you, I guess when I look at the material, the Sonic Boom and Monster, this is going to be an opinion question for me. I didn't really see any material there that was fresh enough for me or that really excited me in there that I would crave another album. Let me say it that way.
Okay, well, that's good. I hear that. I am the type of person where I'm more of a anything of Kiss I could get, I'm happy. if Paul Stanley is going to put out a solo album, I'm going to do that. Now, I believe that's what's going to be next. I think they're going to get off the road. Paul's going to do an album. I don't think he'll tour for it. I don't think he'll tour for it because I don't think that he can handle it. I think it's unfortunately just become too much. Now, I will say that I thought Paul sounded very well when I saw them here in Atlanta. Was he Paul Stanley in 1977 or even 1996? No. But he sang in key and I didn't hear his voice crack. But maybe once or twice. But, you know, when you've been screaming for as many years, and I always call it, you know, I've always heard, and I said it on another episode, where Paul was on the Kiss Cruise. Kiss Cruise 1, he immediately flew out after they did their second makeup show, and he had throat surgery, and he hasn't been the same since.
Yeah, and his voice cracked in 1976, too.
Right, right. You know, but people just aren't used to the severity of it now.
And, yeah, that's right. That's
you know,
right.
And what I don't want is him to become Don Dokken. If you watch Don Dokken now, he basically just talks his words. He does not sing anymore because he can't. I'm afraid of that. But I think that they changed the tuning on the guitars and played everything maybe a little deeper. So he sang it at a different key. And I think that that worked for him. I also do not have a problem if they want to put a pitch correction thing on him and let him do what he wants and let that machine fix it, you know. And the reason why is because, you know, it's like being a baseball player and, you know, not walking up and having the best bat you have. And, you know, I think that Paul, you know, their tools are out there to help. And if I say it's not, you usually put pitch correction on somebody because they can't sing. And it's not that Paul can't sing. It's just that he's having trouble doing it.
Yeah. And so do you think they should have a new album?
I'll take a new album, but I really think that it'll come after Paul.
Interesting. I think that a couple things that you said there. I want to talk about the tuning for a second after this. Yeah. Oh, shoot, I lost my train of thought. So I'll talk about the tuning because I remember that one. But as a guitar player, you know, like I've played Kiss songs and they always tune down half step. So they're right, they're down half step, but now they're down just another half a step. But if you try and play Kiss songs in standard tuning, for instance, that like everybody else plays their guitars, it's really hard to sing those songs. It's really hard to play those songs. So when you go down, like it's funny, like E flat is a key, is a Kiss key. You go down to the next level and it really does sound different and it doesn't have the same dynamics. And I think that's what bothers me about it. When it comes to the album, Joe, I just simply, whatever it is they do, I just simply want it to be good quality. I don't, you know, that's, I just need whatever I listen to these days, it's got to be good, right? So I don't cut anybody too much slack. If, you know, if they're going to present something to me that's subpar, whatever they've done for me in the past, that's just my way of thinking about it. I get why people want more from them, though. You know what I mean? I really do. I just don't think, I've had this conversation with people before, is any Kiss better than no Kiss? And my thought process in that was, no, I want good quality from them because I can't ignore it when it's not, right? Sure. But I'm glad. I'm really glad. Like when you saw that concert, though, I mean, that's encouraging, you know, because if his voice cracks is one thing, it's just that you can live with that. Because like I said, if you go back and look at the videos, look at Cobo Hall. I mean, you know, 1976 at Cobo Hall, you know, there's cracks in there because you know, I sing like that and my voice goes like everybody else's does. So it's going to crack, but it was the tonal thing. It's being in key. That's the bigger issue when, you know, when that doesn't happen, right?
So. Right. Let's see. I had somewhere else to go, and I got lost for a second there. Ace is going to obviously do a tour, you think?
Oh, I would. I don't know. I mean, I think so. I mean, he's. I guess it's. You know, I've heard a few. I don't really know a lot about this. Okay. I mean, it would be my opinion. I think he's definitely going to try it. I mean, the popular consensus is that, you know, he wants to tour like a rock star and no one's going to pay him to do it. You know, with the riders and the way he's going to have to travel around on a bus. You know, he's not going to be able to travel on jets, you know, because even if his album is extremely successful for his solo album, it's not going to make him a huge amount of money. Right. So I think, I just don't think the audience is as big as us Kiss fans think it is outside of Kissdom.
Right. Well, that's what will go to the shows. It will be Kiss fans.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, I've never met anybody that started off as an Ace fan but went, I like Ace, but I don't like Kiss. I've never met anybody that. So
I agree, yeah.
That's who's, you know, it's just like Paul Stanley. I like Paul Stanley? No. I like Kiss, and Paul Stanley's in the band. I'm an Ace.
Right.
I'm a Peter, a fan. Same thing. I don't know many Peter fans. Anyway, and...
Well, Jeff Scott, my buddy Jeff is. He's a huge Peter.
I love Peter Criss, really, but, you know, I don't know anybody that's like, I very rarely, okay, how about this? I very rarely meet anybody that's like, Peter Criss is my favorite member. You know, it's usually the other guys.
Yeah, I would say, and there's a whole other topic there, but you play drums, and I play a little bit of drums, and you know that if you look at the old Kiss material, that every single song had a signature drum beat to it.
Oh, yeah. And
there was nothing standard to it. So anyway, whether I'm a fan of, you know, the way Peter acts and talks is one thing, but I'm definitely a fan of the drum beats he created for the band.
Yeah. So let's talk about the show, your show.
Sure.
What's going on?
Well, first of all, our show has been around just over a year. We typically do about a show a month. So we've never been trying, because obviously, as we talked earlier, we do lots of editing. There's lots of thought put into it. We brainstorm quite a bit before we actually do a show in terms of, and we're really looking to be different. We're looking to say, you know, if a topic's been done 1 week, you know, in the last 6 months by anybody else, we'll stay away from it. And we're really looking for a way to creatively present a new topic. And right now, we're just past a month since the last show. And the reality is Jeff Scott's indisposed. I mean, without going into, he's got some personal things going on, and he's the show doesn't exist without his editing. Simple as that. So we've got a show in the can right now. that we really want to get out there because it was a lot of fun. And I'm not going to say anything about it, but it would be a lot of fun. And I know we did something for you too. I don't know if we ever got that to you. We did a video to help support the project you have on the go.
Right. I have not seen that yet, but I'm very excited that you guys have done it. Well, I will wait as long as I have to wait.
Well, it exists, and it's just a question of him putting it together. And once he gets things, once he gets settled down there, he'll it won't take long. It'll take him an evening sometime to put that together. So that's kind of where we're at right now. We're in a bit of hiatus. We're not going away. I'm actually thinking of some creative ways to keep things alive, like I did today with that video I just did in terms of the little spotlight. I might even do some guitar work over the next little while. Just do some little guitar spots. And say, highlight a piece and just play it for everybody and show them how to play it. Maybe do some requests, those kind of things. Just anything to keep the watch and Kiss Talk Show alive.
Yeah, I like that idea right there. I like that idea of hey guys, you play guitar, let me show you how to play Shock Me.
Exactly, and it's indoor. Or here's my favorite riff, and we did a show on it, but I'd like to, when we did our Kiss Riff show, which was a long time ago, we were still experimenting with our sound. So the sound was not very good. So the guitar parts didn't come out as anywhere near like I'd like them to. So you know what? That's a big part of what we do. So I might do that. So I don't know, Joe. What I'm going to do is that's why I reached out to you, to ask you if I could come on your show, because I just want to keep it alive. And like we're big on reciprocity, meaning that if I'm on your show, we're gonna promote the heck out of you, and I think we try and do that anyway.
Right.
But even more so now is just kind of do some cross promotion stuff until we get the next show out there, and then we'll see. I really don't know what's going to happen though, because the show that you see requires Jeff Scott.
Right.
It's simple as that. I just don't do that. I'm a banker.
Yes, you count. You've got city hands. You've been counting money all your life.
No, actually, that's not true. I used to be a blue collar worker until I became a banker. So I used to milk cows, man. So it's not that.
What?
Yeah,
milked cows?
Oh yeah.
That's pretty amazing. I don't think I could handle that. I would be I'm dirty.
I've done it all.
I think that after this show, I know Jody has talked to you, but I bet the other guys are going to be like, oh my God, I got to have Jeff on my show. He's really got it going on. And your opinions are really good, and you think about them before you speak. Unlike me, I kind of run off at the mouth but I have to. I have to be that way, because otherwise I won't get hate mail.
Joe, when I came on, when you started this show, like I said to you in my little promo there, I know we've gone way over your normal time here, and I'm sure.
I don't care. We're going to put it out anyway.
All right, well, great. Well, what really it energizes me too, like when you started kicking it off, and my heart rate went up about 50 beats when you started talking. I said, this is great. It's like starting a rock show. It's like, that's great. I love the enthusiasm. It feels like a radio show. You know what I mean? It feels
right.
It doesn't feel like a hack in a basement somewhere.
Right. And ironically, I am a hack in a basement. But
so am I.
I will tell you that I did used to have a radio show before I did this, and it was called Out of the Garage, and all I did was play local bands, unsigned bands on the radio, and it was on the internet, and I did it for a couple of years with a woman that will be unnamed, ex-wife of mine, and that's probably when she started hating me, but she still does radio, actually, and I want people to, when they hear my show, to know that I'm excited about doing it. And I really, and like you, I don't, call it fans. I have listeners. Every time I look and I see that somebody in Afghanistan is listening, I know that in Afghanistan, if you're listening, you are a soldier, and I want to keep doing this show for that soldier. That is listening, because this is helping him get through whatever he might be going through, which is nothing compared to, what my poor little sad life is, you know. So if he, you know, so if he's sitting there and going, or, you know, Japan and Australia and Ghana and Rio and Colombia and everywhere is listening, and I don't want to let you guys down. And, you know, and I was looking, I was like, man, people are listening in Italy. It blows my mind.
I know.
And
I know.
You know, every one of us gets it. It's not like it's unique to me. But for me, it still comes back to that whole beginning 1 year ago where I said, wouldn't it be nice if 1,000 people a month listened?
So why did you start, though? Like, I mean, because we started, like I said, we watched some other shows, we got involved, and we just, let's try it. We literally just said, let's try it. And Jeff wanted to exercise his artistic, you know, side, right? So why did, I mean, you saw all the other shows out there. You knew there was other shows going on. Sure. So why did you jump in, and what was your niche that you wanted to, I think I know what one of them was, but what was your niche that you were trying to go after when you went in?
Well, when we first started, there was four of us. There was me and Lee, the Goddess of Thunder, Nickelbag Rick from Pod Vomit, and his son, Trey. And the reason why the show was so great at the beginning, I thought, and unique, was because not only did we have Rick, who's a lifelong Kiss fan, and Lee, who is a woman who is a lifelong Kiss fan and a great bass player in a great band, and she was a Gene Simmons impersonator in a all-female Kiss tribute band, but we had Trey as well, and Trey plays bass in my band, and he is the son of Nickelbag Rick. We had father and son, we had a female, and we had me, and you know, to top it off, which was I'm a very docile, loving, I love it all Kiss fan. Rick is a new Kiss is awful, old Kiss is the only way to go. Trey is a little in between, and Lee is a I just love Kiss, you know, and when I hear Kiss, I feel like I'm 12. And then I just, you know, just like you, I had heard other podcasts. I had heard Three Sides. I had heard The Kiss Room. I had heard Cassius, who has a new show out. I know I've said everybody. I just want to make sure. Cassius is going to be keeping his Creatures of the Net going. He was thinking about quitting, and I cried. I was so upset about that. And then, you know, of course, you have The Podfather, which is Ken Mills and his show, which has been going on for – I think 36 years now. Not really, but I that's a jab at age. But, you know, and he does a number of podcasts. You know, he does one for Cheap Trick. He does a new one for the Monkees. If you're a Monkees fan, listen. It's a good one. And then he still finds the time to do the Kiss one. You know, he gets a panel and they all sit around and talk. And that's when I, you know, at that point, when we first started, there wasn't a lot. There was also Pods and Sods, and I want to say Decibel Geek. And they don't stick to just Kiss, but they do a lot of Kiss.
Right.
At least those were the ones that I saw. You know, I know there's more. And then we were doing Pod Vomit, and then I said I had to stop doing Pod Vomit. And I said we should do a Kiss one, because I think that's where we, you know, we stand around, we talk about Kiss all day. We should just do it on the microphone. And we did it. And then, you know, Pod Vomit was able to take off again. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to do the Kiss show. And Lee's band took off. And they're called Iron Mullet. They're an 80s cover band. And if you live in Atlanta, or I think Tennessee too, they'll go, they play around. Iron Mullet. Remember that. They're amazing. And they do like Dio and Iron Maiden and like Queensryche, all the good stuff. And Trey was just like, oh, well, I got two jobs and I don't have time. And I thought, I'm going to stop this. And then somebody said, why are you stopping? So it took me about a couple of weeks before I went, all right, I'm going to do 20-minute shows, because the internet says podcasts succeed when they do 20 or 30-minute shows. 15 to 25 minutes. And so the rest is, you know, podcast rock history.
That was what that's what really drew me right away, was I saw the 20-minute, you know, the 20-minute idea. I said, that's exactly it, is that that's the attention span, and people will go, you know, if they feel they can go in and get the finished product in 20 minutes, which they're not getting from us today, but they
they don't care. They're loving this. I don't know. Hopefully they love it.
But you know what I'm saying? Like that's exactly what it is. You know, I got 20 minutes. I can, you know, before I go to work, I can listen to the show. You know, we cut ours down to an hour. We were going over an hour at one point. We said, no, we're going to go less, you know, an hour or 59 minutes at the most. But we just, it's hard for us to shut up. You know, it's like once we get talking, we just keep going.
Yeah. And also, you know, if people want live, you know, you can go and listen to Matt Porter's show that comes on once a month, and it's a great show. And yeah, not only does he play Kiss, but he also plays the Bay City Psychos, my band, which has a new album out. I sound like Gene Simmons. And you go to iTunes and pick that sucker up and pay for a few songs so I can go back in the studio. Okay, yeah, that was BS right there. It was fun, though. It was like I was watching the documentary today about – I saw that the new Kiss movie about the Detroit football team is going to get
Made. ESPN, right?
And then I watched the ESPN thing today, and I put it back out on the site because it's such a good documentary. And it was really funny how – I can't remember what – you know. Oh, he was like – Gene Simmons said, we landed here, and everybody – the whole football team was – in Kiss makeup, and it was like we were in Kiss World. He goes, which, by the way, we own the trademark on. I was like, that is perfect Gene Simmons right
there. Oh, yeah.
All about the moolah.
No kidding.
Not at all. He knows, hey, I'm going to make some money. But I bet he spends it, too.
Oh, sure.
I don't think that he's like, I got to save every penny.
It's hard to say with a guy like that, you know?
No, it really is, you know, but I would imagine his kids are I mean, well, you know, that's another topic for another day. Listen, man, you know, thank you for coming on the show. I've had a great time.
Me too. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and if you don't have another show out in the next few weeks, just come back on. It's just like Adam from History Science Theater. I messaged him. I go, you want to do a show? He goes, man, I love talking.
Yeah.
He's like, I can talk about Kiss all the time, you know.
Well, anytime, Joe. Like I said, once we get back up and running, we'll try and do a home and home sometime. We'll get you on our show.
Oh yeah, I'll do video.
We'll have to do some pre work for that. We'll get you all rigged up, but we'll get you on for sure, right? And we'll do that because I love this collaboration. We're all about collaboration, and so anytime you want to have me on, I'll come on and have a chat. This has been a blast.
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, when I get done here, I'm going to message Jody Have Not and say, you got to have me and Cool Uncle Jeff on and talk about Kiss guitar playing and maybe even D-Rock. That's my best imitation. Man, I can't believe we got Cool Uncle Jeff and Joe on the show.
I don't even know the guy, but I heard him.
I did an imitation of him on the show with Jody, and I asked him what he thought, and he said he thought it was hilarious. I was like, great. I don't want that man showing up and kicking my ass.
Yeah, if I knew him better, I'd do my imitation too. But yeah.
He just sounds like you just swallow some glass and you got it. All right, hey Jeff, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we will I'll put the show out ASAP, and I think everybody's going to enjoy it.
I know I will. It's been a pleasure talking to you, Joe.
Absolutely. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Now, hopefully you guys liked Jeff, and if you did, remember his show is Watching You. It's on YouTube, and I'm going to tell you the address where you could go. It's youtube.com/EastCoastKissTribute. Check them out. They got a ton of shows on there. You can catch up. The graphics are great. The show is funny, and they're full of knowledge and great opinions. Till next week, we'll see you guys. Peace.
Greetings from Jen Bell, Kiss Army. Strange Ways Podcast wants to invite you to a rock and roll party. Right. Join Jody Havnot, D-Rock, and Clinton Harris for the strangest Kiss podcast known to our scientists at this time.
Pretty mystical.
Your Kiss Army bros celebrate and discuss the gods of thunder. Kiss! You can find the Earth versions on Podomatic, Facebook, iTunes, Stitcher and blah, blah, blah. Just Google it. Thank you and keep on rocking.
They are serious.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world.
Kiss!
It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
This is a really big moment.
Hi, I'm Cassius Morris, host of Kiss Podcast Creatures of the Net. Our show content includes current events of the hottest band in the land, exclusive interviews, and the trials and tribulations of being a Kiss fan. You can check out our show at www.creaturesofthenet.com and on Facebook or Twitter. And if you don't know the website name by now,
well, you better f***ing learn it!
We'll see you here.
Kistery Science Theater, the most civilized...
Yeah.
Oh, f***.
Oh, f***.
Come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine G with like a washtub bass. Boom, 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 boom.
And serious.
No, wait.
Excuse me, Bob. You're going to come over and do my album.
Kiss Podcast on the web. Kistery Science Theater. We bust balls because we can.
Doctors define modern rock disorder as a sudden, intense drop in musical taste affecting all facets of the victim's lives and the lives of those around them. Over 20 million Americans suffer. Do you? Is your newfound love of Axe body spray, leather wristbands, and mountains of hair care products driving those close to you crazy? Has your overwhelming desire to crank Nickelback, drink a sixer of Natty Ice, and yell at girls from the back of a pickup truck seriously impaired your work or social life? The Decibel Geek Podcast offers new hope. The Decibel Geek Podcast, the only podcast proven effective for MRD. The Decibel Geek Podcast corrects the chemical imbalance created by listening to bands like Theory of a Dead Man and Three Doors Down, so that with time and your hosts Chris and Aaron's help, you can move toward recovery. MRD hurts. The Decibel Geek Podcast can help. Visit www.decibelgeek.com to begin the road to recovery.
It's time for some cheap talk. You're listening to Trick Chat.
Their mommy's all right. Their daddies are all right. They just seem a little weird. They even got their Kiss records out. This is Ken from the Podkiss. Join me, Matt, Andrew, and BJ as we talk about four great guys and three great chords. Cheap Trick. If you're a Kiss fan, chances are you've checked them out. So please check out our show, Cheap Talk with Trick Chat, available for now in the Podkiss feed.
Keep cheap tricking.
Someone, somewhere is needing to hear from you. Someone needing to know that you care. Care enough to give the gift of Podkiss. Tell a friend about Podkiss today. Download us on iTunes, friend us on Facebook, and rock your ass out. Podkiss.
That's a picture of Joseph Kiss Sr., who came up with the vision of Kiss in 1753.
Right, that Joseph
Kiss. That's, of course, a picture of him without makeup.
That's right, Mr. Joseph Kiss Sr.
All right.
Hi, Kiss fans. This is J.R. Smalling, and I'm pleased to announce the release of our new book, Out on the Streets, written by me and the other members of the original Kiss crew. This book chronicles the glory days of the hottest band in the land from 1974 to 1976. You'll hear the real tales of what it was like to be on the road with Kiss during those early years. For more information or to purchase, visit our website, www.theoriginalkisscrew.com. That's crew with a K. You wanted the book and you got it. And we hope that you enjoy it.